Goeie môre, Leo. Ja. Away. did we release the squad? We did. Oh, good. Because my wife always reminds me, please don't forget us. I just want to say, I prepared a 2.5 hour sermon. This church believes in your health, therefore we don't have aircon. So as you sit, you'll lose a couple of calories. It's good for you. No, I know this. Sorry, this fan, guys, this fan fell over in the spirit last week, and I covered it with a orange, and now it's not a viny mini. So I just thought, just for you, can I just turn it towards you for a little bit? Is that okay? Because I can imagine how hard it must be. Is that okay? Is that better? It's only for you guys in front. Okay. You guys, you had enough of that for the last. Okay. I wanted to assign someone and put them here and say, every 5 seconds, can you just turn? And then Nella said, please don't call me up. So, no, are you doing well? It is good to be in the house of the Lord. Because God is good. And I don't know about you, I had quite a busy week. I spent my morning yesterday, very proud, Mr. B, proud dad, you know. My son was at his soccer awards with his club, and so we were there. I was very, honestly, I was very proud. He won the Sportsman of the Year. Now, Jude's probably next door. Don't say anything to him, when, otherwise I have to disciple quite a bit, you know. but I was, seriously, I was so proud of him. I thought, wow, you know, hard work, eh? And then straight from there, we went all the way through to Bergfleet. With my passport, it's far, eh? On the other side, southern suburbs. And my daughter was competing in a competition. Now, I want to say, Trevor, man, you guys must be so proud. Because so their grandson was dancing also in this competition. And he won about 2 or 3. You won? The solo? No, he won 2. I saw 2 awards going to him. And then Silo, she wins something. She came 3rd, and she was only dancing for how long? For 4 months. Now that's amazing, eh? The reason I'm saying this to you is because the message I have this morning is very much linked to your purpose. You know, I believe that when the Lord see you doing what you are designed to do, it pleases his heart. It makes him so happy. And like a father, you know, or a mother looks at their child and say, man, oh, grandfather, grandmother, and I'm so proud of you. The father looks at you and he says, I'm so proud of you. I don't think we realize how proud God is of who you are when you fulfill the purpose and the destiny that God has for you. This week, I had this conversation with the Lord. And it always approached me as I'm your creator, I'm your God, you know. And I know a couple of weeks ago, I spoke about the doctrine of God, that God is great. In other words, there's no one like him, Jeremiah says. And that God is also like you. He has characteristics. That's why the Bible says we're made in his image. There are things about God that we can relate to. And so I had this conversation. God said to me, Tim, whenever you come as I'm your creator, I'm your God. But why don't you come to me as I'm your father, Abba? Then, I know we talk a lot about this. And then I said to the Lord, but man, what does that mean? What does it look like? And he said, and this is why yesterday was important for me, he said the way a father looks at a son is very different to the way a creator looks at its creation. And I know we have some engineers here, and we've got music creators in our midst, and we have artists, and we have all these, you know, people, you know, that do many different things. You create things. And when you look at your creation, and you observe and you say, wow, this is good. But when you look at your child, man, it's very different. You see in them the greatness, even when they make mistakes. And so this morning's title is called The Goodness of God. So let's pray. Father, I just thank you that, Lord, you are good. Help us, Father, this morning to see a glimpse of you that we've never seen before. God, I ask you to show yourself to us. Father, because when we see you in your glory and we see you in your goodness, Father, I know that it's then when we can see ourselves the way you see us. So may we have a revelation this morning, Father, that we might never have had. Thank you, Daddy. And we ask you to bless our time in Jesus' name. Amen. So I remember growing up, these are two songs. So I'm going to start with the other one this morning now. Because I said to the 8 a.m., you know, 8 a.m. people, they didn't watch rugby last night, so it was Biki Moeilik. You didn't get that. Okay, so it's good. But I know you guys are a lot more happier because you watched rugby to the end. And I told the 8 a.m., don't worry, the highlights are going to come on. You'll be happier once you watch the highlights. I gave it away a little bit. But I remember a song. God, you're so good. And everybody went, hallelujah, God, you're so good, hallelujah, God, you're so good, you're so good to me. Now, I grew up on that song. In fact, I remember in Sunday school, now, Lynette's not here, so I can say it, because today we call it children's church, but we used to call it Sunday school, and our Sunday school, we met under the tree. This was in Lentegeer. That's where I grew up. Not all my life. We moved from Lentegeer to Athlon, Bridgetown. But in Lentegeer, I remember being small, going out, and the Sunday school came to you. They actually would knock on the door, and they come and call you and say, we're having Sunday school now. And then, you know, the mother says, you must go. You don't have a choice. And mom says, go. Must go to Sunday school now. And then we all would meet under the tree, and we'd sing these songs. And then they had a little teaching, and then they gave us a little Kool-Aid. Now, fusion, just so you understand, Kool-Aid is like fusion, just a lot better. Yeah. It's not like walls, because that's like a level up. But Kool-Aid, right? So they gave us Kool-Aid, and then we'd go home. And this song, God, You're So Good, I used to sing it all the time, and I could never understand, what does it mean that God is good? Next week, we're going to dig a bit deeper. Right, girly? In a world that is not that easy, full of challenges, full of bad things that happen, but God is good. So I'm laying a foundation for you. The goodness of God. And then a couple of years later, I ended up starting to lead some worship. And Mr. B, you might remember this one. There was a man by the name of Don Moen. And he wrote the song, Zunaid, you must go Google this one. AI, it's better. He wrote the song called, you remember this one? Which one? Say? You don't remember? You remember that song, Mr. B, that Don Moen sang? You want to sing it first? Okay, this is how he started. He would say, God is good.
All the time.
I can only do it in church. I would never be able to do this outside of church. Because every Christian, born particularly during that time, knew that song. God is good all the time. He put this of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. So you know that song. So I tell you, so when that song came out, Don Moen would stand, like he had his congregation, and he would say, God is good, and the whole auditorium goes, all the time. And then he says, all the time, and God is good. So I went to my church, this not this one, prior church. And, you know, there's a lot of people, and I thought, let me try this, you know. This looks like a good thing to do, you know. But now remember, that was the beginning days, Mr. B. So I don't think everybody watched Don Moen do it. So I went, God is good, and I just heard, krik, krik, Nobody responded back. And so obviously we taught him the song, and everybody learned. And so every now and then we'd say, God is good. And everybody replies, all the time, God is good. And again, I wondered to myself, what is the goodness of God? So I want to take you to Psalm 34, verse 8. You can put that up. And in fact, this is another song that I think we also sing in our church. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Remember that? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in Him. And so this word good, I think a lot of us, when we think about being good, we would see it as a moral standard, having a high moral standard. I remember when I used to get my reports, end of year particularly, and I'd bring it home, and then I'd be very proud. I was a very proud academia, is that the right word? But I would bring it home, and I would like, okay, Dad, here's my report, and my mom, and when they opened it up, and it would say, Tim was very good. And that affirmed, something in me, and I was like, man, I worked hard. My dad would say, but, there's always a but. Teachers, I don't know why, they call it the sandwich effect. You'll say, he was very good, but he needs to learn to listen. Or he needs to do, and so there's always this but. But the first line, Tim was very good. It did something, AP, it just hit me, and every time I would be so happy to see this word good. But good, for most people, would be likened to, it's a nice person. It's a well-behaved person. It's someone that maybe would open the door for ladies, greet everybody well. Somebody that always maybe encourages others. And so good, in our standard, is always likened to moral standards. I've even been told, speaking to some people about heaven, and they said, no, I'm going to heaven. I'm a good person. Have you heard that before? I'm good. Actually, I think I'm okay. I don't really need the Lord. I'm good. But what if I told you that the word good, scripturally, biblically, is far deeper than just your moral standard? Because if it was only about being good according to moral standards, then you really wouldn't need the cross. Jesus wouldn't really have needed to go and die. And so the first time the word good is mentioned in the Bible is in Genesis. Now you might remember this. In Genesis, God creates the heavens and the earth, and He makes all this beautiful creation, and the trees and the bees and the birds and everyone, everything. And then just before day six, God looks at His creation, and God says, it is very good. And when you take the Hebrew meaning, and in fact, I see Tova is here this morning. Do you know what your name means? You want to shout it out? Must I shout it out? No, you say it. Goodness. Tova. The Hebrew word. So you see, I did my research now, because I kept asking you, who gave you this name? Tova. Tov. In Hebrew means good, and I'm going to explain what it means. It has a deeper level or meaning than just something that is morally good or pleasant, morally nice. In fact, what it means, when God said that it was good, it meant that what He created works the way it was designed to work. So think about this. Now, if you're a designer, I know you design sets and things, and if you're a designer, you design something, and you have this vision, right? And you got this plan, and architects, they would draw it out. Even engineers, they'd get a draftsman, they'll draw it out. Musicians, you know what we do? Like, we score it out. You know, and some of you are studying that, right? Out to score the music out. You have this thing in your head and you design the music. And then the time when it gets presented, you know, whether it's music, the orchestra or the band plays what is there and it plays exactly the way it's been written. Or in the manufacturing company, when the engineers hand over the design to the workshop and they make exactly what has been handed to them on paper, that is a moment where the musician or the composer, his heart begins to wow. When the engineer comes out and he says, wow, it is very good. It is exactly what it's been designed to do. And when I saw that, in other words, when God said, all of creation that I designed and I made is doing exactly what I've purposed for it to do, I thought, man, what a beautiful picture of a good God. Now, I'm going to get to God being good, and God is good. But think about how the Hebrew word tov is describing it. So the other day, you know, my wife has laid a whole new lawn. And if you're a gardener, you know how much work that is. Eh? And I was cheering her on. I was. I said, come on, babe, you can do this. I was standing out behind the window. Come on, love, get to it. You know, I had a lot of work to do. So the one day, now in the week, I'm looking out the window, and you know, it's starting to grow. It's really growing nicely, and I see these birds, and there's a whole lot of them. We've got a lot of bird life by us. And these birds are going into the soil, and they actually look obviously looking for worms, but they're pulling. And I said, Shrubs, come look here. I said, are these birds, aren't they destroying your hard work? And so she looked at me, she said, no. In fact, they're turning the soil. So I looked at it and I thought, wow, you see how the Lord works there? He's the great designer. He made sure that even the birds will, don't laugh, will do the work that I don't have to do. So they came, and some of them were big, and they turning the soil, and they're doing it for free. We haven't paid them. Well, they're getting the worms out of it, right? But God designed that, and it's perfection. Now wait for it. Because I want to explain to you in the Hebrew understanding of good. I'm going to read this quickly. It's functioning perfectly. It's full of life. It is in harmony with its purpose. You know, growing up, and I'm still growing up, I've realized one of the biggest things in life is to find out what is your purpose. It's the question. That's what... Now, I love these guys because they're in that season, you know. What is my purpose? A lot of times, people look at purpose and they think, oh, you know, you got to look at your talents. What's your talents? And yeah, you can start there. God's given you some things. But I believe that when the Lord reveals to you your purpose, your gifts, because talent is one thing. Yesterday on that stage, I said to Trevor, I mean, there was some good talent, you know. And you can see the talent. The talent can be taught. You know, they dance. Everything. Like, I don't dance. It was hip-hop, by the way, so I don't do hip-hop. But they dance everything perfectly, theoretically, as they were taught. But then there were those. And those, like your grandson, they just danced. Like they were just made to dance. You know, there's a show called X Factor. They call that the X Factor. Where it's beyond a talent, it's about a gift. And those stood out like this. In fact, there was a young lady and a young boy that won all expenses paid for to Croatia because what they were doing, not much different to technically to everybody else, but how they did it, they could see, wow, they've got gifting. In fact, I don't see them here today, but these two visit our church every now and then. I saw them, I thought, I know you. And they normally sit there, so they're probably sleeping at the moment. But the gifts that God gives you, and when you align to your purpose, and you can ask many people this, and I'll give you a secret, even if they don't even know the Lord yet. I've met people who are so aligned to their purpose, and they succeed, and they accelerate in life, in the world standards, you can say. But they are happy with what they do. I've met people wake up in the morning, and they go to work, and they come home, and they're miserable, and they eat their food, and they talk to the wife a little bit, and they go to sleep. They wake up in the next morning, and they go to work, and they come in this routine of just doing life with no purpose. And so God designed everything on the earth, in the heavens, with a purpose. And so when it came to the sixth day, and he created man, he looked at man, and I love this, at the end of that day, and he said, it is very good. In other words, man, in its original form, before the fall, was perfect in its design to do what it was called to do. Now, I wanted to say one more thing on this. The only time God said it is not good was also in Genesis. Can anyone tell me what that was? It is not good for man to be alone. Okay, so, right there, and I felt I needed to say this to us today. Right there, when God looked at Adam, that was without Eve being there yet, he said, it is not good for man to be alone. In other words, it is not good for man to be isolated. For man not to have companionship. For man, can I go take it further? For man not to have community. Because without Eve, Adam could not reproduce. And part of his design was to reproduce. God said, fill the earth, multiply. So he had to create Eve out of Adam so that they could form community. And I'm telling you, church, that's why the church exists. That's why I love the church. That's why Jesus loves the church. Because you're not designed to be alone. You're not designed to walk this walk and live this life all on your own. You are designed to be in community, to have people that can love on you, care for you, pick you up when things are going tough. And so that's interesting that that's the only time God said. And then he fixed it. So then what happened was that when Satan came and tempted man and they fell out of design. Think about it. They fell out of their perfect design. And so in order to correct that, Jesus had to come. Jesus had to come and actually show what true relationship is with the Father, what true relationship is with others. And he had to reflect the goodness of God on the earth. So before I get to Jesus, I just want to read a scripture for you. It's Psalm 119, verse 68. You got that one? Thanks. And this is the psalmist saying, well, writing a song, but he says, you are good, God. You are good, and what you do is good. And the psalmist separates this thing of, I am good when I do things. In other words, he's saying, God, you are good. Your identity, your characteristics, everything in God is good. It's whole. It's life-bringing. It's pure. Everything. In fact, he can't help it. He cannot be anything else. He is good. And it's like the sun. When you look at the sun, you can never switch the sun off. You can try. You can even try and make the biggest switch and see if you can get that sun off. That sun, because it is a ball of light shining, it will always shine. God is exactly the same. He is good. His nature of who he is as a being is perfection. And so when we look at God, you got to look at God as tova, complete, lacking nothing. Everything that he touches, we sang it earlier, comes to life. Everything that he speaks, so shall it be. There is nothing lacking. And I want to say this to you, because when you look at yourself through the lenses of God, then you got to understand that God is interested in you being tova, being good. In other words, being complete. God is interested in you when you take at soccer field, Marvin. And thank you for showing Jude some skills yesterday. When you live out your dream, because he designed that inside of you, he's interested in you. And then he gets pleasure when you do what he's called you to do. And some of you, can I say this? You need to write books. I don't know, am I maybe looking at some here? But there are books that needs to be written, and he's just sitting on it. There are songs that needs to come out. There are things that God has put in your heart that needs to spring forth. And I want to encourage you, don't hold back. Because as soon as you step into it, you're going to see the goodness of God just resting on it. That was for free, oh, by the way. So, Jesus came to show us what God's goodness looks like on the earth in action. And one of the things that I love about the way Jesus lived his life, the Bible says that he did good wherever he went. And then it says, and then he healed a couple of people. Yeah. Seriously, I mean, I can give you the scripture. It says, Acts 10 verse 38, he went about doing good. You want to put that up so that I can prove? Thank you. Okay, thank you for that version there as well. How? It's just 10 verse 38. There we go. Jesus went about doing good. Is it there? He went about doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. No. I can't help myself. Because when I read scripture, I have to like, okay, Lord, what are you saying? So Jesus went around doing good, demonstrating the goodness of God. I would tell you, if Jesus was to walk into this room now, and not come in, you know, like all divine and flying through the roof. We had a roof issue last week, but you know, not walking as a normal person into the room, and he didn't even come and say, "Hey, by the way, I'm Jesus." Are we? Yeah, I'm Jesus. I'm here. You walked in. That is your word. You walked in, and you looked at him, and you saw a human. I would tell you something. All of us would immediately look and say, there's something different about this man. You see, Moses, I'm going to say this again because I used it this morning. I call him Mo, right? So Mo goes into the tent and he spends all his time with the Lord. And in fact, he's spending so much time with God that he even gets almost like he just wants more, man. We sang it this morning. Like, man, there must be more to you because you're quite a mysterious being, you know. You say things and it's not all normal for me. So Moses says to God, show me your glory. That's Exodus 33. And then God says to him, Mo, I'm going to put you in the rock cliff. And I'm going to let goodness. He says, you can't see me. No man can see my face. But I'm going to let my goodness pass you. And then he goes on and he says, my mercy, my compassion, my forgiveness. And he says, and as it passes through, you will see me. So Mo has this amazing experience with God. And every time he then meets God, the glory of God is on him. This is the Bible. So much that when he walks down the mountain, he's shining, right? This is what the scripture says. And they had to go and take a cloth and they covered his face. They said, Mo, you are shining too much. We can't look at you. This is, and now, I used to think, I'm going to submit this to you. I used to think that Moses is coming down and he's got this light coming out of him, you know, almost like the sci-fi movie, you know, got all these lights coming out and they're like, oh, can't look at you, Mo. Throw. But Lord, have I told you the goodness of God? When the goodness of God shines through you and people are not familiar with it, they can't look at you. And you know, I'm saying this because with Moses, the Bible says that goodness, that glory, that tova used to disappear and then until he went back into the presence of God. And but the Bible says that the glory that is upon you and me is ever increasing. In other words, wherever we go, when you look at people and you see them the way God sees them, you are showing them the goodness of God. I told Didi this morning, man, I'm so excited because there were two guys. They came to stay at our Airbnb. Some of you met them. And they were in a relationship. And they came to this church. They were from France. For a whole month, they were living on my property. And the one night, in fact, because they heard, you know, Shavana, oh, you're at the church. And he said, yeah, we're at the church. And he didn't know we're the pastor. So he said, oh, we'd like to come visit the church. We're looking for a church. And I said, great, please come. I was concerned. I thought, I hope our congregation will understand that how do you win people that are lost, the goodness of God. You show them love. So they came in here. I didn't say anything. And then they were shocked to see Chauvet and I. We were quite busy here in the church. And for the whole month, every Sunday, they came to church. They stood there. The one day, the one guy was there and he was weeping. And I went over to him and I just hugged him. Hugged him and I said, he said, I don't know what this is. I don't know what this is. I said, it's the Lord. It's Jesus. That is it. I got a message last week. He said, hey, I miss this church of yours, man. Would love to come back to Cape Town. And he says, by the way, I'm getting married to a woman. I want to tell you, church, you don't spread the gospel by preaching judgment. You spread the gospel like Jesus did, by showing the goodness of God. The goodness of God, the Bible says, is what leads people to repentance. So we don't tolerate sin. That's our, as a church, that's our stance. We don't condone it. We don't align with it. But if somebody walks through there, and I don't know whether he's a man or a woman, I'm not chasing him away. If we can't get this right here, how are we going to get it right out there? And so we must show the goodness of God. We are to reflect his goodness like Christ did. So Jesus sits with his disciples, and they're teaching them all these things, and the Pharisees are shouting at him, and they cursing him because they can't understand how this man who's walking the streets is showing such goodness of God. And I think most of them were jealous because half of the things he was doing and saying, they could not even understand and they couldn't do. And then there's a moment where this woman comes and she gets thrown before the Lord with all these men. And they say, we caught her. She's an adulteress. The Torah says we are to stone her. And they're shouting. And they're ready with their stones. But what they're really doing is they're trying to test the Lord. So Jesus starts writing on the ground. And the Bible doesn't say what he was writing. There's a lot of speculations, you know, that he wrote all these sins down. Or he, Maybe he wrote the scripture that they might have not remembered. I don't know. But he was writing. And then when he looked up and he said, if anyone has not sinned, let him cast the first stone. And they all, Bible says, one by one, dropped their stones and they walked away. The goodness of God, that's what leads you into His presence, into relationship with Him. And I'm going to close. Are we good there? Because Lynette might not be ready for me. Okay. But I want to say this. When you have tasted and seen the goodness of God, when you have experienced, that's what that psalm is all about. It's an invitation to experience His goodness, His wholeness, His completeness. I believe that's when you've had that experience, that's when your life changes. Coming to church on a Sunday is not going to change your life. In fact, I grew up very religious, you know, my upbringing. And we had many rules. One of the rules I either didn't know or forgot, I can't remember, but there was an incident where I went to church on a Wednesday to youth. We had youth on a Wednesday afternoon. You know, they wanted to keep us busy, you know. And I walked into the youth, into the church, and I had what we used to call mangas. Some of you are looking at me like, a manga is basically a pants that is this, you know, just by the knee. So it's maybe slightly below the knee, right? We used to call it mangas. I don't know what they call it today. So I was in a church where the pastor had a house right attached to the church, you know. Give me a hint, Mr. B. There was a house attached and the pastor lived in there. So when we were here in the auditorium, the pastor could walk down anytime and unannounced, and he'd walk in. And if he walks in, because most cases he's walking to come and check, is the youth behaving themselves? So this day I've got my manga on, and he walks in and he comes straight to me and he says, young man, it was an Afrikaans, and because it was the Achies church, so sorry. Okay, I won't say which one. It was the AFM church. And so he said, young man, he says, you know you're not allowed to wear that pants. Please remove yourself from this church. Go home. Now you must know it's a 20-minute walk home. I said, but he says, no, go home and go change and you come back. I went home and never went back. No, I didn't. And I tell you something. My whole concept of Jesus and God was based on this, that incident, and how I understood Christianity from then, from that perspective. That if I was to do things on the outside, if I was to look like I'm living holy, if I was to say the right things, if I was to change everything on the outside, then I fit into the church. That was my, and that's how I grew up, until I met Jesus properly. And then Jesus said to me, I don't care how hard you're going to work on your outside. All I ask you, allow me to change you on the inside. And when I submitted to that, I can tell you, it wasn't difficult to change on the outside. Because the inside, who you are, the inside was being transformed into His likeness. And I'm still there. I'm still saying, Jesus, I want to be more like You. I want to be transformed into Your likeness. And when the inside is right, the outside comes right. I know people, and I've prayed for people, and they're like, I want to stop smoking. I'm so bad. You know, you can try and stop your smoking all you want. Put a patch on. I've never smoked, but I heard you can try the nicotine patch. You can do all these external things, and you'll still come to church and feel bad. But until you allow Jesus to change you from the inside, It's all just in vain. Some people said to me, pray for me, I've got foul language. I said, I can pray for you, but that prayer is not going to change you. I know the person who can. But you're going to have to spend time with him, taste, and see. You can't have a plate of food sitting on the other side of the table unless you've got a long knife and a long fork and you try. I don't know how you're going to get back to yourself, but you've got to be there. Like Moses, in his presence, in the tent. So I'll close with this. I was going to bring a jar, and I was going to break this jar, but anyway, I thought of the staff and, you know, and my staff meeting on Tuesday, and I thought I'll have a lot of rebuke coming my way, mess this whole place up. But imagine I had a jar, and I, beautiful jar, its purpose is to have liquid inside so you can pour it. It could be water, it could be wine, it could be milk, juice. But the jar's purpose is to have liquid inside so that you can pour it. And that jar falls on the ground and it shatters into pieces. That thing, no matter how, if I went over it and I went, oh, shame, you know what, jar, you're going to be okay. You're going to be all right. It's okay. I'll look after you. I'll care for you. That thing will never be able to fulfill its purpose again unless that broken pieces are picked up and it's put back together. That is what salvation is. God doesn't, he sees your shatteredness. He doesn't leave you there and say, oh, shame. You know what? I'm just going to love on you. Oh, man. Let me just, oh, every time you come, oh, look at me. I'm so broken, Lord. I say, okay, just come here. God loves you more than that. Because he wants to see you back to Tova. Complete. Fulfilling your purpose. And so he takes this time. And there's actually a Japanese art called Kintsugi. You know Kintsugi? There you go. They take the broken jars and then they fill with gold in between. They put it back together. Oh, I wish I had it. I just don't have gold, Didi. That's a problem, you know? But they put it together and then that jar fulfills its purpose again. For some of you, you need to hear that. Because take off the condemnation that you are not good enough, that you're not worthy. When you're in Christ, he's busy transforming you, man. And it takes time. For some, it's years. We heard Carl's testimony the other day, and it took him years to find his wholeness again. For others, God does it like this. In the process, if you allow him just to put you together, the gold becomes the beauty within the brokenness. So can we pray? And really, when we say God is good, he's complete in everything, lacking nothing. And when we come to him and we are not complete, he's the gold that comes. And he glues us back together. I pray this morning, Father, help us to see you for who you really are. In seeing you, Father, help us to see who we really are. Maybe you're here this morning and you really don't know the goodness of God in this way. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you because I believe the Lord will show you his goodness, his glory. So if that's you this morning, you don't have to come to the front, but maybe just a show of hands, I know who I'm praying for. Say, Tim, it's me. I want to know the goodness of God. I want to experience His goodness. I see that, man. I want to taste and see this goodness of Him. I see that, man. Anyone want to join? I see that hand as well. And so I'm going to ask, for those with their hands, I want you to open your hands up like you're receiving a gift. Just where you are, just open your hands up. I pray, Holy Spirit, right now that you show them the goodness of God, the love of God, the Father who runs after his child, the Father who restores, who brings healing and restoration. And I thank you. Let them taste and see that you are good. And while your hands are open, I want to make another call. If you're here this morning, and maybe you don't know Jesus, you've never, ever taken the invitation to receive him as Lord and Savior, I don't want to leave this place without praying for you. And if that's you, then I'm going to ask you to raise your hands so I can see who I'm praying with. If you've never made the decision to make Jesus your Lord and Savior, so I take it everybody here knows Jesus. And I just pray, Father, these more hands open to you. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and meet each and everyone who is opening their hearts, Lord, for your goodness.
Morning, church. So when Pastor Tim was talking about when he gave the analogy of engineers and how when they produce, whatever, they were the buildings and stuff, and they look at it and they're proud and they say, this is good. I just felt the Spirit of God highlighting Habakkuk 2 verse 2, which talks about writing down your vision. And it says, the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and engrave it plainly on clay tablets so that the one who reads it will run. And I feel this is a call to action for us. Whatever we're trusting God for, whatever dreams that you have, we've imagined it for so long, you've carried it for so long, but you've never actually taken the prophetic act of writing it down. So I'd like to encourage you, when you get home today, whatever it is that God has laid on your heart, whatever you're trusting for, go and write it down. Put it on a wall where you can see it, where you pray, or when you wake up in the morning, look at it. And when you pray, point to it and remind God that I've taken the prophetic act of writing it down. I had a friend who was trusting God for a baby for many years. So she ended up opening a WhatsApp group, and she was posting baby pictures and baby clothes that she was going to buy, and this prophetic act, she ended up being blessed with a baby 2 years after she did that prophetic act. So whatever it is that you're trusting God for, go and write it down and always point to it and always declare it. So the scripture is Habakkuk 2 verse 2.
Thank you, girlie. Can we stand as we close the service? I just want Jason to lead us into that song just one more time. Yeah. And then we'll close.
So wonderful, so beautiful, so kind and lovely. Isn't he beyond compare, rich and rare. Marvelous and holy, isn't he? So wonderful, so beautiful, so lovely, isn't he? Beyond compare, too rich and rare. So wonderful, so beautiful, so heavenly, isn't he?
Father, we thank you that you are a good God. You're a loving God. And this morning, Father, I pray that even as we go have meals with our families, wherever we find ourselves, Father, when we know your goodness is all around us. And I pray, Father, that you may show your glory to each and every person and each and every family. In Jesus' name, the people of God say, amen. So may you have a blessed week. May you have an awesome week. And we will see you next week.